Did anybody notice their wives that treated them nicer today than the day before? Oh, your wife didn't go to the shiur.
I told her to listen on online.
My wife actually listened. My wife actually listened to her online.
She did? I didn't look. So she did listen to it? So did you notice a difference?
Yeah, as we got the computer, she said, no, I'm not getting up.
No, I'm surprised. I told them they're not allowed to tell, just like I told the men, they're not allowed to tell the wives what I told them in the Shalom Bayis Shiur for men. So I told them also they're not allowed to tell their husbands what I said to them. It says women only. It says, yeah, it's very important. It's very important. No. They're very good. Okay, Chodesh Al Brothers. Thursday night, we're in Shara Bitochon. We're learning Perek Shlishi. We're learning over. Perek Shlishi is how to is where he starts the workbook, where he starts the manual of how to develop Bitochon. So the first thing is to internalize and to contemplate and think about five concepts, five ideas. The first of the five ideas is that Hashem has all the seven things that are in the second perek that allow you to have bitachon in anyone, with bitachon being defined the way he defined it in perek aleph, that I'm totally calm, I gave it over, hashleich al Hashem Yehovcha, I'm calm, I gave over my pekel, I gave over my problems to someone else. So he's going through the seven things that allow you to be that calm. And we're up to the sixth, I think. Bashishis. Shishis is the seventh of the second perek. The seventh of the second perek is that to have full bitachon in anything, the object you have to feel, it's really a tremendous psychological insight, you have to feel that the object of your bitachon will do for you even if you don't deserve it. So, or else you won't be calm. Because everybody's walking around with a little guilt that they really don't deserve good things to happen to them. And, you know, that's what the Chavis HaMovis' insight is. And therefore he says that to have bitachon in anyone, in anything, the way he defines bitachon, you have to be convinced that they'll do it for you even if you don't deserve it. And that's true about Hashem. And you have to realize that. V'hashishis sheyeda otzam man'amo bal ha'odam. All of the good. You have to do a little shara b'china action. You have to think about all of the good that Hashem showers upon people. U'ma shehiktim lo. And how Hashem bestowed so much good on you. B'shefa ha'tova chesed. Even though you don't deserve it. I don't believe when you were a fetus and Hashem, first of all, that Hashem brought you into existence from a nothing, and then he sustained you for 9 months, and then he sustained you. You got to admit that at least for the first 10 years of your life, you didn't deserve it. So he has already 10 years and 9 months ahead of you. The Roman nation is Zokotlo. Hashem doesn't need to do these things for you. Elatova, Chemla, Vachesed, Unadova. Each word is a powerful word. Hashem bestows good. He has Rachmanus, Chesed, Nadova. You don't deserve it. Kamo Shabiyarnu B'Shar HaBachina Misefer Zeh. You get this by learning Shar HaBachina. And you say, well, why do I deserve all these great things? I didn't do anything to deserve an eyeball. Even just to talk about the human body, I didn't do anything to deserve the digestive system that I have. What did I do to deserve that I can tell colors with my eye, and I could see what a beautiful world it is in different colors, that I could smell flowers? I didn't do anything to deserve it. Kol shamar achasar olav shalom rabos asisa to Hashem alokai liflol secho machshvol secho eleinu. You think about us, you provide for us. Ein aroch elecha, there is none like you. Agida v'adabera, otzmu misaper. Or else you can't have bitachon. you can't, because, you know, I don't deserve it. So if you say, but Hashem does for me, even if I don't deserve it, and He has done for me in the past, even though I haven't deserved it, and He continues to do for me, that's, then you can have bitachon. You can have bitachon if you feel Hashem will do for you even if you don't deserve it. The way you develop that is through learning Shara Bechina and thinking about it, and thinking about if you deserve to have been born, if you deserve to have been born Jewish, living in Eretz Yisrael, married, children, the whole bit. So that's number six, which is number seven in the second parak. Number seven, we're gonna learn later. A person has to improve, not. We're gonna learn later. The Chavis Halavos is going to say that one of the requirements of bitachon is that you don't get Hashem angry at you. So we're gonna learn then when that line is crossed. What's the difference between insisting, and the Chaim Zalbovitz insists, if you remember back in Perek Aleph, five lines, he insisted there that bitachon by definition means you rely on someone to do for you even if you don't deserve it. He already put that into the definition in Perek Aleph, and it's in Perek Beis in his list as number seven. Here it's on his list number six. Where do you cross the line to saying that you made Hashem angry at you? How can you rely on Him to do what you would like Him to do? I'm going to save it for when we learn that. That's a major discussion. It's not poshut at all. It's not clear in the Chaim Zalbovitz 100% what he means. I have my own beer. Other Sfarim have different beer than the Chaim Zalbovitz. There's probably a machlokas, forgetting about Chaim Zalbovitz for a moment, there's probably a machlokas, like the Gra and the Ramban, like there's different shitos about if a Rasha can have bitachon. We'll talk about it when we get to there. I have what to say about it. Number seven, if you're following the Chavis Halvavos, if, it's a big if, number seven you won't recognize. The only way you'll be figure out what number seven is in the second parak is if you make a checklist and cross everything off, so you'll see there's only one left. But it really doesn't match the words of Perek Beis, and it really reveals what he meant in Perek Beis. The one that's left is number five in Perek Beis. When we learned Perek Beis, we said, we touched up number five. He said in Perek Beis that in order to have bitachon in someone, he has to have a track record. You have to feel that he was there for you in every conceivable situation. When you were a fetus, when you were an infant, when you were a young child, when you got a little older, when you were a young adult, when you were a teenager, or maybe not a teenager, when you were an adolescent, when you were a young adult, and when you were old, and when you were in the nursing home. There for you in all situations, when you were rich, when you were poor. That's a track record. We said, because or else you're not going to be calm, because despite everything else, even if all the other qualities are there, but you'll always be a little nervous because you don't really know. You don't know. So he has a track record. So you feel calm because he's done it before. That's what it says in Perek Beis. That's how we learned it. And that's really the words of Perek Beis. You get a... Since the only one left is that one, here it's number seven, here he has a huge arichus, a very, very long arichus, and you see a whole different... For the Chavis HaLovis, that is. And it's a whole different perspective on what he meant. Even though if you go back now and see the words, I still say... The words say what I just said now, track record. But here he has a whole different take on it. And the take is really a very basic fundamental belief that it's funny he should say it now, but this is the hardest. Because remember, I'm learning in Perek Gimel that the order here, and the reason it's different than the order in Perek Beis, is because here he's talking about actually developing bitachon, so he's going in order from easiest to hardest. That's why it's different than in Perek Beis. He's going to say here, I'm going to say it, you're going to yawn and say, what's the big deal? But it's really a very, very fundamental belief, and it's really, we don't think that way. Because everything in the world makes us think that it's counterintuitive, and it's not true. The yesod is that everything that happens in the world is because Hashem was gozer it. Every minute, everything that happens is supposed to happen the minute that it happens. Everything. And no one can change that. As the Chavis Halavis holds, most hold like that. It's really normative Jewish hashkafa, despite what people think. And that is, even if Reuven murders Shimon, there's no question that Shimon was supposed to die at that moment. And if Reuven would have been bocher not to kill him, Shimon would have died in a different way. That's all. Everything. You lose money, you gain money, you get a job. Every person in the world, everything is a gzardin. The reason we don't see it and we don't feel it is because when we say, why did this happen? So we look at the immediate cause and we look at what we see. You say, why did this war break out? Or why did this person die in the war? Because there was a war. War broke out. Why did the war break out? Because what you read in the newspaper. What you see in the newspaper, though, the newspaper, you'll notice, has a funny thing about newspapers. They always write the reason something happened after it happened. You see, they never write before it happened that this is the reason why something's going to happen. And from that you can learn out that it's not really the reason. We look at things after they happen, and you say, oh, that's the reason. But that's not the real reason. Hashem planned a whole chain of events. And the reason really isn't worthy. You say, this guy became rich, right? It was serendipity, they will call it, or it was luck, or he worked hard, or he was in the right place at the right time, and he invented something, or it's all nonsense. That's not true. It's all Hashem. Hashem was gozer, and therefore things could happen. And the point of number seven, and then you can't have bitachon without it. This is like an elemental, it's really an elementary, fundamental belief in emunah. Everything that happens because Hashem wanted to happen at the exact moment that it happens, where you live, your quality of life, who you get married to, what your children are like, everything that affects your existence, everything about you is a tzivui Hashem, is a gzardin from Hashem at the moment it happens, in the place it happens, that I should be sitting here right now at this moment, that I should be living here, working here, doing this, what friends I have, the quality of friends, if I miss the bus, if I make the bus, everything. Once you internalize that and realize that, bitachon is really, it's not a frumkeit, it's not a religious imperative, it's reality. All you're doing when you have bitachon is you're getting in touch with reality. Because if Hashem is the only source, and there can be millions of links. In other words, for me to be here today, there's so many links in the chain, because you have to look about my parents getting married. If my parents staff got married, they had to meet. If my parents staff met, they had to both end up on the Lower East Side in a certain year, and they had to both know the same person that read the Shidduch. But for that to happen, and all of the events, Hashem's orchestrating. The Chavis HaLovus was going to say, we're not learning it inside now. The reason we don't see this is because there's a chain of events that could be generations long. We don't even know what's a chain and what's not a chain. Right? For me to be sitting here tonight, I had to be fired from Eishon Torah, that's for sure. And then there was a whole chain of events that brought me to the shul, and a whole chain of events that said that we should change Meir to 8 o'clock and learn Chayvus HaLovus. This is all Hashem's doing. And the Bechira of people is one of the mysteries of the universe. But now that we have computers, it's not such a big mystery. Hashem has his big computer, and he just feeds in the data because he knows the future, and he maneuvers that everything should happen. It's a question of how big a computer you have, that's all. Right now we know it, you can figure everything out. I told you about 9/11. I said it. Isha Torah, I was there, so they said, do you expect us to believe? I never told us. Yeah, I did. Do you expect us to believe that if the guy wouldn't have decided to crash into the building, those 3,000 people would have died of a heart attack at that moment? They would have been wearing a suit and a tie, sitting at their desks, and they all would have keeled over and died at that moment. Come on, Rabbi. Come on. So I told them, that's a silly question. I mean, that's not a silly question, but it reveals a lack of understanding. That if, of course there was a Gzar Din of these 3,000 people, but if Hashem would have known, so to speak, that the pilot wouldn't have crashed into the, not so to speak, if Hashem, in his seeing the in his knowledge of Hoya Hove V'yia, would have known that the pilot would not have crashed into the building, so these 3,000 people would have had different lives. They wouldn't have been at the World Trade Center at that moment at their desk with a hat and with a tie and a jacket, sitting, typing a computer. One would have been a slave laborer in China, and one would have been in the Sudan, and one would have been in deep Africa, and one would have been living in Japan, and one would be living, they would have been scattered, they would have had different lives. You're talking about Hashem. And they all would have died at that moment. What's the big deal? You don't think 3,000 people die every day? The 3,000 people die every day. So they wouldn't have been who you think they are. That's all. Hashem, for reasons known only to him, had them all lead the lives that they led and get the jobs that they got, and that they were at work that morning, sitting at their desks. So they all died at one time, then because of the plane. But that's not the reason they died. Was not because of the plane. The reason they died was because they lived as long as they were supposed to live. Hashem made a kitzvah, and that's all. It happened in this way. But this, you cannot be talking without realizing this. You have to know that that's an ironclad rock. Everything is decided by Hashem. It's the hardest thing. That's why it's number 7, because it's counterintuitive, because we read newspapers. So the stock market went up because it is, and I lost my money because of that, and a war broke out because of this, or a war didn't break out because of that, and the economy went up and the economy went down, and the weather and everything. The newspaper reports all the sequels. I hold that's the evil of newspaper. I said it a couple of times, is not the pictures of the women in there. The evil of newspapers is that it pulls you away from Hashem, because the newspapers write everything matter-of-factly, because they're big chachamim, because they're writing about it after it happened. So they're writing things that happened, and they're writing, oh, you know why this happened? Yeah. So that's the evil. So it pulls you away from realizing this principle. This is going to... Yeah, so this is number 7, and then he'll develop it, and he'll talk about Arichus about this, because it's very important to... not it's just one. This allows you to have B'tochen, and now B'tochen just becomes being real. You might be real. It's almost, it's like saying, you might as well have B'tochen, because Hashem's deciding what's happening anyway. So you might as well just plug into that and realize that, and then rely on him, because he's the one deciding. So, like, what's the point? You might as well get real. Okay.